We're looking this morning, if you want to turn to John chapter 9. We're going to talk about holding on to what you know from John chapter 9. And I'm going to need your help as we get started here, because we're going to learn about the blind man and several other things as we look through this chapter. So we're going to start with learning about his first encounter with Jesus. This is in verses 1 through 7. And I know I told you to open your Bibles, and I hope you've got them open. And we are going to look at those verses in a minute. But for right now, what I want you to do is I want us to try to get back there, and let's try to be that blind man for just a minute. So if you'll close your eyes and try to imagine yourself, if you've ever seen a movie about Jesus' life and you've seen pictures or something in that movie about the temple, imagine that great big huge temple, and you're sitting out on the side of the road near that. But you know what? You can't see that temple. In fact, you were born blind. You haven't seen anything in your whole life. Can you even imagine that? What'd that be like to not be able to see anything your whole life? You wouldn't even know what you looked like. You wouldn't know what anybody else looked like. You wouldn't know, people tell, they walk past you every day. Oh, look at that beautiful temple. And you're thinking, I wish I could see it. I wish I could know what that temple looked like. Oh, to be able to see the temple where everyone comes to worship God. But you've never seen anything. You don't know a tree from a bird. And now, here you are, sitting on the side of the road. You've been blind your whole life. You're having to beg money to be able to make a living. And can you imagine all the things that have happened to you as you sit there and you got your little bowl out there, and some joker always comes by and drops a rock in, and you think he's giving you some money, but he's just dropped in a rock. And so, you hear that sound, clink. Oh, somebody gave me something. Reaching it, it's just a rock. The little kids come by, especially maybe some of the older teenage kids, and they make fun of you a little bit, maybe even play some pranks on you. But now imagine as you're sitting there and you can't see anything, but your ears work great and you can hear, and you hear a commotion coming towards you. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us what was going on in their conversation before they got to the blind man, but Jesus and his disciples are coming. And can you just imagine some of the things they might be talking about? Now, in chapter 8, at the end of it, Jesus had been teaching in the temple, and he had taught some things that were so hated by the religious leaders of his day that they actually had picked up some stones and they were going to kill him. But he hid himself and slipped out and got away from them. And now, here come him and his disciples. And can you imagine, they might be talking, one of the disciples said, wow, did you hear what happened with Jesus in the temple yesterday? Or earlier today? Or what? We don't know exactly how much time passed between chapter 8 and chapter 9, but Jesus is going along here, and here's this guy, and they're talking, and one of them says, Jesus, what made them so mad at you? Why? I can't believe they picked up stones to throw them at you. And they're discussing these things, and then lo and behold, they get close enough, and this is the part of the conversation where John picks up in chapter 9. And you hear him coming, and you hear, and I don't know, he doesn't tell you who says it. Sometimes when a Bible writer doesn't tell you who says it, you always wonder, wonder if it was him. Wonder if he's the one that said the silly thing. And that's why he didn't want to say who said it. Because a lot of times he says, when somebody else says something stupid, he lets you know, Andrew said this and Philip said that. But, they don't like to, and I said this stupid thing. But here they are, they're coming along. And you're sitting there hoping, hey, big group of people coming, maybe some of them will give me some money. Maybe I'll get something from these folks. They've just been to the temple, they're talking about the temple and things. Now, chances are you're not going to get anything, because if they've been to the temple, they probably gave at the temple. They're not going to bring anything, but you're hoping anyway. And so as you're sitting there with your eyes, wishing you could see, knowing you can't, but then you hear that here's this group coming. And then you hear this question from one of the disciples, and you don't know who they are, and we don't know who they are. But you hear this, well, hey, look at that blind man right there. Hey, master. Did this guy sin so bad that he was born blind, or was it his parents that were such bad sinners that he was born blind? Now, you've already probably got a little self-esteem problem from the fact that you've had to live your life this way your whole life, begging, depending on the charity of others your whole life. But you hear that, and you think, really? They're going to pick on me that way? They're going to turn me into a doctrinal discussion on sin and disease and all these things? And here he comes then, Jesus answers, well, neither this man sinned nor his parents. And he's like, oh wow, that's what this fellow's saying about me. That's good. That's not what caused him to be born blind. Instead, Jesus says, it's so that the glory of God can be seen. It's so that the works of God can be shown in him. And he goes on to say, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm in the light of the world. And you're starting to think, wow, this guy's pretty good. Now I know some of you have given up closing your eyes by now. For just a minute now, one more minute, let's close our eyes back. Because the next thing that happens after that conversation is this. And remember, all those mean tricks, everybody's playing, dropping rocks in your bowl and everything else. But the next thing you hear after Jesus says all these lofty things about being the light of the world, and then you hear this. Your first thought is, did he spit at me? Well, if he did, he missed me. But then, you feel that feeling. Now, we've all been splattered with mud at some point in our lives. But you feel that feeling as he takes wet mud that you can only imagine must have come from the spit that he just spit. And he rubs that on your eyes. Of all the mean and nasty tricks that anybody's ever played on you. And then he has the nerve to say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, of course I'm going to go wash. You just spit and made mud and put it on me, on my face. Of course I'm going to go wash that off. But then the miraculous thing happens. You find your way to that pool, which is hard enough being blind. You find your way to that pool and you start to splash that water on your face, and as the mud starts to come off and you realize, wait a minute, there's light. Wait a minute, I can see. I don't imagine most of us could even really imagine what that would be like to have never been able to see in your whole life and then suddenly to be able to see perfectly. Well, his opinion of that mean and nasty trick that was played on him has changed, hasn't it? Well, now you're not blind anymore. You don't have to keep your eyes closed. Now you can. And can you imagine seeing everything for the first time? Can you imagine turning around from that pool of Siloam and going back and looking and seeing the glorious temple for the first time ever? And can you imagine even as you're splashing that water and washing it off and to see your own reflection in the pool for the first time and, wow, look, that's me. That's me in that pool. Now, if you can even begin to imagine what some of those things might have been like. If you remember maybe the first time you saw, even though you'd seen things before, but maybe the first time you saw something that was really amazing. You know, maybe the first time you went somewhere or saw something that you'd never seen before. I know the kids, you know, the first time they saw snow. Wow! Now, you know, I grew up in Colorado, so we saw snow so much. We were happy when we didn't see snow. But you know, that when you see something for the first time, it's just amazing to you. It's like nothing you've ever experienced. And so this man comes back to where he used to be. And his acquaintances have some reactions to that. They see him. And now they're like, wait a minute, this guy looks familiar. I know him. Hey, that's the guy that used to sit here and beg that was blind. What? He and others would say, no, it's not the same guy. He's kind of like him. Maybe he's a brother or a cousin or something. He's kind of like him, but he's not the same guy. That guy's blind. This guy can see. But he tells them, that's me. I used to sit here. I was blind. And now I can see. And they said, well, wait a minute. How'd that happen? What happened to you? And so he tells them. Verse 11, he says, the man called Jesus. See, that's how I knew that he knew who was coming toward him. He somewhere along there, he heard that it was Jesus that was coming. He knew who it was. But the man called Jesus, he made some mud and put it on my eyes and told me to go to Siloam and wash. And when I went and washed, I received my sight. And they said, well, where is he now? He said, I don't know. Now realize, he could have just as easily said, how would I know? I've never seen the man. Because he's never seen Jesus. He knew it was Jesus that put the mud on his eyes, but he couldn't see then. He had no idea where Jesus is or where he's gone. Jesus didn't go with him to the pool. Jesus was gone. Well, as usual, somebody is going to ratchet out to the cops, right? Here's the Pharisees were the morality police. They were the law of Moses police of their day. They'll make sure everybody did what they were supposed to do. And when somebody told the Pharisees about this guy, well, guess what? It was the Sabbath day when Jesus did this. And oh, they were upset. Oh, you can't be doing things like that. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. You can't. You realize some of the Jews were so wrapped up in this Sabbath day thing that they had even transferred the law about not working on the Sabbath to inanimate objects. In other words, they said, like, if you were going to lay out some clothes to dry, you had to do it early enough on Friday that they'd be dry before the Sabbath day started on Friday night at sundown. Because if you left them out and they dried on the Sabbath day, then you were guilty of breaking the Sabbath day law of working on the Sabbath day. Really? I laid them out on Friday. Yeah, but they were still drying on Saturday. Now, can you imagine that? If we said, hey, you cannot work on Saturday at all, and so you better not start a load of dishes or a load of clothes in your clothes dryer or your clothes washer or your dishwasher. You better not start any of those things when it's getting close to that time. You got to make sure it's done before that gets... That's how crazy these guys were about it. And that work. What work did Jesus do? Wait, he made a little mud and put it on the guy's eyes. Now, miraculously, he did a great work. But physically, made a little mud. It's not exactly work. In fact, a lot of kids think that's play. You're making some mud and mud pies and play. But you think about this. They're so upset about this that they call this guy in to interrogate him. We're going to get to the bottom of this because, you know, he got healed on the Sabbath day and we just can't have that kind of thing happening. And so they call him in. And so they said, all right, what happened? How'd you get your sight? And so he told him, he said, well, he put the mud on my eyes and I went and washed and now I can see. And the Pharisee said, well, he's not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. Others were like, well, now wait a minute, if he's a sinner, how could he do such miraculous works? There was a little bit of a division there. You see, not all the Pharisees were always on the same page against Jesus. There were some that were kind of curious about him. We talked back in John chapter 3 about Nicodemus. He was one of these Pharisees. He was on the Sanhedrin council. And yet he believed Jesus was a teacher from God. He said, we know you're a teacher from God, when he was talking to Jesus. And so there's some other people that may be kind of feeling like Nicodemus, like, wait a minute, this guy, he can't be all bad. He just healed this blind man. He can't be that bad. Well, they said again to him, what do you think about it? You're the one that got healed. What do you think about it? And his response is, he's a prophet. I think he's a prophet. All right. Well, they weren't too happy about that. They didn't believe that. In fact, they said, you know what? I bet this whole thing's a scam. I don't think he was born blind. Let's call his parents in and get their testimony. And so they call his parents in. In verses 18 through 23, they interrogate them. They question them. And so they ask them, is this your son? You said he was born blind. How is it that he can see now? And they said, well, now look, we know he's our son, and we know he was born blind. But hey, look, he's a grown man. You want to know how he can see? You ask him. We don't know anything about that. They just pass the buck off. You know, they don't want anything to do with this. And there's a reason for that. Remember what I said about the Pharisees being the law of Moses police. The Pharisees had made it a rule. It certainly wasn't anything in the law of Moses, but they'd made it a rule that if anybody said that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, they were going to kick them out of the synagogue. They couldn't come to worship anymore. It's kind of like, you know, people talk about, I got kicked out of the church. Well, it was kind of like, they were going to kick them out. They were going to do that to anybody who said that Jesus was the Messiah. See, that was a threat to their power and their authority. So they didn't want that happening. And so because of that, his parents were afraid to say, they were afraid, you know, hey, if we say the wrong thing, they may kick us out of the synagogue. We won't get to come worship anymore. And so they said, hey, ask him about it. So, you know what the Pharisees did? They asked him about it. They called him a second time. Let's question him again. And so this second time, verses 24 through 34, they really go after him. They said, okay, well, you give the glory to God because you can see, but we know this man that did this was a sinner. And he said this in verse 25. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I was blind, but now I can see. Now, he didn't claim to have all the answers, did he? But he said, I know this one thing. I used to be blind, and I'm not anymore. And that was a pretty incredible thing. And certainly, to him, it was. And so then they said, oh, well, okay, all right, tell us again. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And this is where he starts to really get in trouble with them. It was bad enough he said he was a that the guy's a prophet earlier, but now this time he's really going to step in it. He's really going to get into trouble because his answer is, I already told you and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And boy, they jumped on that one, didn't they? They jumped all over him here now. They said, oh, wait a minute, you idiot. They reviled him. Now, I don't know what kind of words they might have used, but idiot might have been a good one. That's actually a Greek word. But they said, hey, you know, let me tell you something. You're his disciple? Well, we're Moses' disciples. We know God spoke through Moses, but this guy, we don't know where he's from. And so, you know, he says then in verse 30, the man responds to him. He says, that's an amazing thing right there that you just said. Now, you'd think he'd be scared. You know, he's in some serious danger here. But you know what? When you've been an outcast your whole life, sometimes you get to the point where being weird isn't really a problem for you. Being outcast and mocked and reviled, he'd been reviled his whole life. He'd been picked on. So, hey, one more group's picking on me. Big deal. But he still knows, I was blind and now I can see. And you can't take that away from me. I got that. And so he goes on to say, it's an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, but he opened the eyes of a blind man. He opened my eyes. Now, then he says, verse 31, sometimes this is misconstrued. We misuse this passage a lot. He says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners. Now, understand, he's just spouting what he's been taught. We know God doesn't. Sometimes we quote this as though this is inspiration from God. This man is not inspired by God to speak these things. He's just telling what he's been taught, what the Pharisees believe, and what he believed. That we know God doesn't listen to sinners. Now, we can debate about that fully some other time, but we've got to be careful about taking things that people said in the Bible and assuming that they're God's truth. There are a lot of things that people said in the Bible that are not God's truth. In one case, the people said, Jesus is crazy. He's beside himself. Is that true? Well, no, it wasn't true. So, we have to take with a grain of sand anything like this that a person says who's not known to be inspired by God. Same problem in the book of Job. Job's friends say all kinds of things about God and about the way sin and suffering works, and we can't always trust all that. They're not inspired by God. In fact, God says, they didn't speak right about me. So we've got to be careful. And it's possible that this guy, you know, he has a point, but that it's not inspiration from God that he speaks these things. But he says, we know God doesn't listen to sinners, but anyone who's a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Now we do understand that. The Bible does tell us that God's ear is toward the righteous and he answers their prayer, but his face is against those who do evil and wickedness. Now that's not the same thing as someone who has sinned and is penitent and is turning toward God. We understand somebody who's in rebellion against God, and that's kind of what he's talking about here. But sometimes people take that to, well, anybody who's committed a sin, God won't listen to you. Yeah, well, we're in bad shape then, because God wouldn't listen to any of us. None of us could talk to God. None of us could ever pray. If we ever committed a sin, we couldn't talk to him. He wouldn't listen to us. We'd all be sunk. But then he goes on, though, and he says, and here's one of the keys here in 32. Since the world began, it's never been heard of that one that was born blind received his sight. Now that's pretty amazing. When you think about the miracles in the Old Testament, I mean, we're talking about people being raised from the dead, waters parted, darkness for 3 days, blood and boils and hail from heaven and all the plagues and all of the fire from heaven all of these things, these miraculous things, but you go back and check it. You'll not find one case in the Bible anywhere in the Old Testament about anybody that was born blind being healed of that. Or for that matter, of anyone who was blind, period, born that way or got that way later. You never read about that in the Old Testament. That was one of the things that was a sign of the Messiah. It was one of the things that was said He was going to do. And that's what this man is pointing out to them. We've never heard of this happening before, and this guy did it, and you're saying he's a sinner. And he said if he wasn't from God, he couldn't do this. He could do nothing, he says. Now listen to their answer. Now remember, we don't trust things that people in the Bible who aren't inspired by God say. Remember what Jesus said about this man? The disciples asked, was he in sin or was his parents in sin that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one, right? So we know Jesus said, no, wasn't his parents in sin, wasn't him in sin. That didn't have anything to do with his being born blind. But listen to what the Pharisees say. You were born in sin. Well, they're wrong on that. Jesus said different. They said, you were born in sin and you'd teach us, and then they kicked him out. Well, then he gets a second chance to meet Jesus, and this time he gets to see him. But he doesn't even know who it is. Jesus heard they'd thrown him out, and so he went and found him. And he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, well, who is he, sir? See, he doesn't even know who he is. Who is he, sir, so that I can believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus right there. This man's had quite a turn of events in his life, didn't he? Going from thinking that this guy's playing a practical joke on him, a mean and cruel one at that, to thinking, hey, you know, maybe the guy's a prophet. To thinking, for sure, this guy is from God. To thinking, he's my Lord and I'm going to worship him. It's quite a transformation in the matter of just a short period of time, isn't it? But you know, knowledge will do that to you. Well, we need to learn a few lessons from this. At the end of that, Jesus teaches us one lesson. For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And the Pharisees, some of them were near there and heard it, and they said, oh, are we blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But now you say we see, so your guilt remains. Now basically what Jesus is pointing out to us is, there is none so blind as those who refuse to see. Everything Jesus did was to show them that He was from God, that He was the Messiah, and they just refused to open their eyes. Spiritually, see, I mean physically, they saw Him, they saw the works He did. But spiritually, they just refused to see what was right in front of them. We can learn a few other lessons from this man himself as well. First of all, there will always be some who doubt you. You know, he knew he was the man who had sat there and that used to be blind, but there was some, oh no, that's not him. No, he wasn't really born blind. There's always going to be somebody who doubts you. No matter how much honesty and integrity you have, no matter how much truth you tell, there's going to be some people that doubt you, just like people doubted Jesus. But then also, we need to understand there will always be some who contradict what you know to be true. You can know something and know it for a fact, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to contradict that and say, well, that's not right. That's not true. You don't know what you're talking about. That's all right. Let them go with it. They'll either figure it out or they'll run into trouble when they refuse to figure it out. One of the two. But then another thing that we learn from this fellow is once you learn a truth, don't let go of it. Hold on to what you know. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell it once you've got it. And then finally, we want to notice, even though we don't know everything, and none of us does, none of us knows everything. Even though we don't know everything, the fact that we don't know everything doesn't have to change the truth of what we do know. Now this man, as he goes along, there are a lot of things he doesn't know. But once he learns something and he knows that, he's unshakable in that. Nobody can defeat him in what he knows to be true. What about us? Are we holding on to what we know is true? You know, there's an old song. I say old, I mean it wasn't ancient or anything, but there was an old song, "I don't know much, but I know I love you, and that may be all I need to know." I wouldn't even try to sing it because I can't sing it. But y'all know that song? Well, I don't think that particular song is entirely accurate. But I will say this. You know, we may not know much, but if we know Jesus loves us, if we know God loves us, that may be the most important thing we need to know. Now, it's not the only thing we need. We need to know how to respond to His love. You know, we need to know some other things about that. But that's the most important thing for us to know, is that He loves it. Once we know that, then we got somewhere to build on. Just like this man, once he knew Jesus had healed him, nobody could take that away from him. It didn't matter what they said or did. What about you this morning? What do you know? What is it that you've known, but maybe you've allowed others to cast some doubt on it, to shake your faith in it a little bit? You don't have to let them shake your faith. It doesn't matter how much they seem to know what they're talking about. These Pharisees, well, they put on show. Oh, well, we know this and you. They couldn't take away what this guy knew. And he knew that he was born blind. He'd been blind all his life up until that Sabbath day when Jesus healed him, and he could see now. And there was nothing they could say that could change that. If we know what the Scriptures teach us, there is nothing that anyone in the world ought to be able to say that changes that fact. Now, we constantly need to continue studying and learning, though, don't we? You see, this man, he didn't stop with "he's a prophet," did he? He didn't stop with, "well, I know I was blind and now I can see." He didn't stop there. He kept growing. He went from, "I was blind and I can see," "well, I know this man healed me, I don't know if he's a sinner or not," to, "I know he's a prophet," to, "well, you know what? He's got to be from God," to, "well, who's the Son of Man?" "Oh, it's you? Well, I'll worship you and you're my Lord." We need to turn to God and accept His knowledge. Take that knowledge in and make it our own. And then stand firm on that knowledge of God that we have. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but not give up the things that we've already known. Just, you know, we think about, there are a lot of things that we may not know. You think about a little child that first learns 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, does the fact that they don't know that 2 times 2 equals 4 change what 2 plus 2 is? Well, no. Does the fact that they don't know what 6 times 12 is change what 2 plus 2? No. They know that fact. They may not know all the facts, but they know that one. And it shouldn't be shaken. We may not understand what A squared plus B squared equals C squared. We may not understand that. But we still know 2 plus 2 equals 4. So we can grow on those things and learn more. And as we learn more, we add that to our basis of faith that helps us stand firm. If you're here this morning and you've doubted something that you know is true, get that doubt out. Stand on what you know is true. If you know Jesus is from God, if you know He is Lord and should be Lord of your life, and yet you haven't made Him the Lord of your life, you do that today. If you believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Christ, and be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. Call on the name of the Lord. If you're here and you're a Christian, but you've allowed doubts to cause you not to hold on to what you know and not to live by what you know, you too may need to respond as we stand and as we sing.